Ladies and men of the general disposition, yes, it's true. Doom Radio, aka Tango TV, has returned. And the last time we did a podcast, well, the last time we uploaded a podcast was 4 months ago, but that was actually recorded a year before that. So we're not only running on fumes, we're running on the fumes of the past. That sucks. I actually practiced that one, you can tell. Not in the mirror, though. Anyway, we're going back to interviews. It's been belated, but I think you'll be pleased with the cat we dragged in to this particular interview today in the Not-So-Studio. It is the man with the videos himself, Mr. Sorek Harris. Hello.
Sorek, I knew it.
That's why I'm just not even going to try. He's just going to be moldy.
I should have asked him before.
Everyone gets it wrong.
Okay. Big deal. Right, Moldy. Anyway, you know him as Moldy.
Moldy, yeah, you can call me Moldy if you like.
I will, from here on out. I just asked you this, but I feel it's an important question, before we started. Because you came up with the name Moldy some time ago, but that's the moniker that you elected to use for the Doom World forums. And, of course, everyone knows who you are now. Immensely famous outside the Doom community, tenfold more so. But I always got the impression that you wanted to start sort of from the ground up, letting your work speak for itself rather than the name. At least that's what I would do in that sort of position. So I'm just, you know, give us a bit of detail on that. What was your sort of thought process going into the Doom community?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been animating videos and stuff for quite a while now, but I don't know. Oh, sorry, am I allowed to swear on this, by the way?
Absolutely. Tarnsman. Swear
for I didn't bother telling anyone who I was, because that doesn't really matter, because I'm not here to make weird videos. I'm here to make Doom maps.
Right.
I didn't want people to...
The nature of some of your level design, though.
If you want people's honest opinions, then you can't. You have to leave any kind of other kind of baggage behind.
Right. I guess when a name is dragged out, though, people can start drawing comparisons and parallels anywhere they please, even if it's for, you know, because people think quite highly of your work, of course, and we also recognise it as being quite bizarre. But maybe that's just been influenced by the fact that we know. Who you are outside of the Doom community, and so people tend to think more. Because
I never really think about any of that stuff when I'm making maps for Doom, because all I'm interested in is making stuff that I want to play, you know. Mm. And it's the two are like two separate worlds, really.
Okay. Well, I guess the next natural question to ask is why Doom in particular?
I've been playing Doom since forever, you know, since it came out, but I never gave much thought to the modding community of Doom, because, I guess back then I just had an idea in my head that custom maps were probably a bit rubbish. compared to the official ones, and they're probably a pain in the ass to actually get running, so I never really looked into it. And then several years later, I got to a point where the Doom game wasn't running properly on my computer anymore because of some Windows update, and that's when I started looking into source ports and stuff. And that's when I realized that people were still like making stuff for this game even today. And I thought, well, if they're putting this much effort into it, maybe the maps are all right, you know, maybe I should check some out. And that was a few years ago, and that's when I discovered Doom World and the list of the 100 best maps or whatever.
That's the place to start.
Yeah, it's quite a big revelation, you know, because Doom is like my favorite ever video game, and suddenly I had like an infinite amount of extra Doom to play. So, yeah, it's like having several Christmases all at once there.
Yeah, the Doom community doesn't seem to me to make that big of an effort. Outside of stuff like, oh god, dare we speak of Selfie Doom? That's very recent. Yeah, to really branch outside of the community. It's really down to certain other websites. Like, is it called Kotaku? Tarnsman, is that right? Am I correct? Okay. And PC gamers really pick and choose whatever the hell they please to highlight. And most of the time, it doesn't even seem to be the sort of the best material. Selfie Doom. That's a thing. So yeah, it's really unfortunate. But I'm glad you found it because we've picked a prize level designer in the process.
It just amazed me that because I mean I've loved this game for so many years and I always come back to it even though I try out other stuff in the meantime. There's always stuff that draws me back to Doom, and I was just amazed when I started playing all these custom maps that they were not only as good as the original stuff, they'd like improved on it, and they'd even kind of updated the gameplay to be exactly how I wanted it to be, you know.
I tend to look at your work and your as well your earlier stuff as well. Just thinking your first snap from the Nova. And that's pretty ambitious stuff. For a first and second map to be, and I kind of get the impression that you're always one sort of looking to push the envelope. And even the way you're talking now with regards to
if I'm going to make something, I want to make it the best that I possibly can, you know.
Right.
And I mean that kind of relates to the videos that I make as well.
Yes,
because
sure.
I'm not just spending a couple of hours making a kind of a
right.
cutout cartoon cow dancing around. I'm spending weeks kind of crafting it into something, spending so much time on these things that would drive anyone else insane, you know. So,
that's just sort of the work ethic that you set for yourself.
It's not worth doing something unless it's the best that you can possibly do.
So I guess the entire concept, just a spitball here of say speed mapping or something, that wouldn't be something you're interested in. It's all about the
well, speed mapping. It's funny because when I was making the going down thing, I actually did speed map a lot of those maps.
Oh right,
but that,
course, yeah.
But that was more to do with the actual production process because I had to do things a bit differently with a whole megawatt to make.
Mm.
The process of making it, I had to turn it into kind of a factory production line almost. Just to keep my interest going in it, because if I'm spending like months working on a map, then before I start making the next one, then there's a good chance that I'll just give up. Because I've got quite a short attention span.
Mm.
So the way I did that was just to speed map every map, and without any details, texturing, lighting, just purely the gameplay and the rough layout, and then immediately move on to the next map.
It's quite remarkable, actually, how different your process is normally from the other person in this call, who has deeply ingrained and rather efficient method of deleting most of what anything he dislikes sort of immediately, and then coming back to it and not really belaboring on anything. And I guess I'm a little bit like that as well these days. If something isn't working out for me in the long run, I just axe it and start again. I guess it is a kind of perfectionism, I suppose. So it's interesting to hear get the distinction there on the types of approaches to level design. But I want to hear more about the development of Going Down, which I'm sure many people will want to hear about. So what the idea was behind it, I mean, beyond just the concept alone, the technicalities behind it, and especially the playtesting for that, which must have been insane, because there's so much just going on technically, which is so impressive, and I guess it's pushing the envelope stuff as well. So just give us a handle on the dev process for that.
Well, how did that all start? I'd kind of been doing like single maps for
community projects,
And basically just to practice, you know, just to because I'd done a couple of my own maps, and I'd done the eye, and it looked nice, but there were gameplay things about it which weren't really, which looking back on it aren't really that great. So I wanted to kind of concentrate more on getting the gameplay better.
Right.
So yeah, I joined in a couple of community projects just to experiment a bit, and I mean, there are a lot of things in those maps which you could probably find used again in going down. But yeah, once I'd done several maps, I figured I might have what it takes to actually make a whole kind of episode of my own, which would be cool, because the thing about working on a community project is it doesn't matter how good your maps are, if the guy in the slot before you has done a really shitty one.
Are you alluding to a particular project in particular here? Or?
Well, you know, that's actually
something that we lament a lot in the Doom community, is there's a lot of projects where you'll get like one or two really good maps that like you can really get behind, and like, you know, they're buried behind, you right. know, 20 yeah. or 40 other like horrible maps.
Yeah.
Zazer's another guy like that, where he just puts maps in community projects and they kind of get forgotten even though they're really good maps. That's kind of how I felt about like map 20 in Doom 2 Name Only.
It's in the map 20 slot, and that's right.
It's in the map 20 slot. It's a really good like interpretation of gotcha. It's got a good usage of barons. It's how you should use barons, mainly as like a deterrent for player movement. It's a really cool map, but you know, you have to slog through 19 other not as good maps. Some of them are okay. Yeah. To get to it, and it kind of like diminishes the map because it quickly gets forgotten by the people who don't want to, you know, look at the other 29 maps in the set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did kind of reuse that whole concept for map, I think 18 of Going Down, where you have that kind of siege with the barrel.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, nothing goes to waste in the end. But the thing I liked about that community project was that it was kind of very inclusive. Right. And I don't know if I'd have even joined it otherwise, because at the time I joined it, I'd done a couple of maps and I still wasn't quite sure I was any good or not. So it was good to find a project that just let anyone have a go and try things out.
Right. Even at its worst, a project like Doom 2 Name Only, for example, is just a great platform for experimentation.
Yeah.
And then you can sort of take or leave however the project is received thereafter. Is that sort of your approach to it? You're not particularly interested in how well it's received, as long as you're part of the process and you get to put something out there? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I was still learning at the time, and to be honest, I feel like I'm still learning even now. It's a very useful process to just get the hang of making maps, and because before that I had this kind of before that I'd made the eye, and that was like it was going to be my first map, and it was probably, I had in my mind that this might be the only map I ever make, so it has to be like epic in scale. And it was good to move from that to something where you just got to make a quick short map that people are going to play and then move on to the next one. You don't get too precious about it.
Mm. Oh, and that helps advance.
You can kind of work a bit quicker.
Yeah.
So after I'd done a bunch of community maps, I figured I might have what it takes to actually make an episode of my own. And like I was only planning like seven maps or so.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought, well, they've got to be small maps and quite short to play, just so I can get them done quicker.
Mm.
So I had the idea of setting them in a building where each floor is a different map. And as I was kind of thinking about it, I thought, because originally I was going to start on the ground floor and move upwards, and I thought, well, if you started on the roof and went downwards, then you could just keep going underground. Mm. And that's when I started wondering how far underground could I go and how many maps could I actually make this? And then I started to think, do I have enough ideas to actually make the whole 32 maps? So as a kind of an academic kind of thing, I just made a list of 32 maps and concepts for all of them, just to see if I could. And that was basically the blueprint of the whole project from there on.
Wow, that's I was just thinking there when you decided to flip from going up to going down, is you could have actually done a sort of Being John Malkovich thing, just stuck a couple of floors in between. The lifts don't really get off on the right floors. No, but that's an interesting decision. I remember Tons and I were a little dubious. I mean, we liked the concept, but certainly Tarnsman, his mind was going riot with the possibilities of getting off the floor and it no longer being anything like either a building or hell or anything on the ground, but Atlantis. He wanted it to turn into the TARDIS. And for a while, it was kind of like that, but for me as well. But I think it really survives on the strength of every level being its own isolated concept. And at that point, the setting doesn't really matter, although it would have been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been great to just suddenly like, oh, now we're on fucking floor, you know, -26. Welcome to ancient Rome, just in a building.
The thing is, though, I wanted to keep some kind of a narrative structure behind it, so I couldn't go completely mad like that. I wanted the first episode would be in a building, as you'd expect a building to be.
Yes.
And then as it goes underground, there had to be, like, I couldn't just switch from a building to complete madness. I wanted to have some kind of a progression as you're going underground, so there'd be sewers and then maybe caves and lava and whatever. And then for the final episode in Hell, I wanted it to be a kind of an inverse of the first episode, so you find yourself going down a building again,
yes.
But it's a hellish building and a hellish city underground.
Mm.
So it'd be a kind of a mirror of the first episode. Mm. But there was still some leeway within that to go a little bit crazy in the final episode.
How obliged did you feel to stick to the I guess the building layout, since everything's set inside a building at the start, and then in the later levels you branch out a bit, you give yourself a little bit more space. But did you ever come up with a concept where you felt like, oh, this is really cool, if only I didn't have to limit it to a box?
Yeah, that was
some stuff was tight.
That was a real pain in the ass. Because, I mean, originally this wasn't going to be such an ambitious project anyway. It was just going to be a bit of fun just making us some quick maps. So I wasn't all that bothered to begin with, but the more I started to work on it, the more I thought, oh, this could be so much better. But I've kind of worked myself into a corner because I've got to make each floor fit into this square for at least the first seven maps.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was a bit of a struggle to make interesting stuff for the first episode. And especially the first few maps were very kind of boxy. And of course, just the fact of being in a building, buildings are the most, if they're in any way meant to look real, then they're the most boring places to set video games in.
Tons will agree with that, I'm sure. Boxes.
Depends. No,
boxes are hard to work with. They're very helpful.
How you do it, like, a lot of people don't like city maps. I love city maps, not because of, like, the boxes, but because a lot of city maps generally have a lot more verticality, and, like, more interesting, like, ways to move through buildings, and so, like, that's kind of the balance you gotta strike.
Oh, yeah, I mean, a lot of the city maps that you like is essentially taking multiple maps from going down and putting it in one sandbox area. Different yeah. ideas and different buildings and different locations that you can see.
Well, not even that, like just the way that the player is encouraged to move, like, yeah, there are bad yeah. city maps, and well, just like there's bad building maps, like, it's all about how you approach the idea behind it. And with something like Going Down, it's nice because, like, I've said this before, that I like smaller maps generally, because with a longer map, like, longer maps have the benefit of allowing you to really create a setting and a journey. But the nice thing about smaller maps is they really let you isolate a concept, so you can easily do 32 concept maps. You can't do 32 long maps. It just drags on. So, like, by limiting your space, you're kind of forcing yourself to, like, focus on a really good concept, and that's kind of what I feel Going Down exceeded.
Yeah, it absolutely works there, because you have it sells the idea, and then it pisses off to the next level.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't dabble around in the middle. Yeah, that's great.
As well, there wasn't a kind of a feeling that I had to have each map being the room corridor kind of a structure anyway.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of the maps are basically just one big room that just have an interesting way of running around in it, and then I just chuck monsters in. So that's another kind of advantage. But yeah, I was glad when I finally got to the underground bits where I could at least deviate from a square overall shape.
Oh no, but yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
I still wanted to keep them at a particular small scale. But yeah, just being allowed to kind of weave them around a bit and experiment a bit more.
Is there anything you would have changed about the in hindsight, any sort of approach you made, because you said it was part of the development process and that you're still learning, so is there anything, any decision you've come to at the end of this journey that you would have said, yeah, maybe we'd have done that differently?
Yeah, the first few maps I'd have probably gone back and redone a bit more interestingly visually, I think. Another thing I'm not entirely sure about was I kind of made a decision to stick to the stock textures,
right?
Just because I kind of wanted to see how far I could push them to make each map as different as possible from all the others. But there are things that I wish I'd had a few custom textures for, just to kind of help sell certain areas a bit more, like offices and things.
I do think that the decision to limit it to mostly stock textures, like, really created a unique feel for the
set.
Right,
right. I was going to say, yeah, it definitely maps it that, to me, seems to thrive off the strength of being under limitations, you know, both in the size of the layouts that you've made for yourself, although there may be some misgivings there.
And I mean, this kind of relates to what I do with my videos as well, is that I'm always working to within some kind of a limitation, whether it's like footage that I'm using or whatever the concept is.
Yes.
I seem to work best when I'm trying to make do with limited assets. And to be honest, the stock textures for Doom 2 are pretty good, as in my opinion, as a bunch of textures go. There's a lot of stuff you can do with them. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because they've been used so much that everyone's a bit kind of fed up with them.
No, there definitely is, like, you look at, I think it's map 28, the one where you used a lot of Zimmer to make this, like, kind of vine hell.
Well, that's 25, I think.
Yeah.
Is it 25? I don't know why I think it's 28, it's been a while since I've
Forbidden
like
Fruit, back. I should remember the name. Well, yeah. Well done me.
but that's a great example of, of like just using Doom 2 textures in a way that they're not generally used, and I think that there's still a lot of potential in Doom 2 textures.
Yeah, there are a lot of authors that are very good at that. Sayers is another one, Natural 20, of course, with No End in Sight, which still isn't released.
Well, shall I talk about the actual... I mentioned earlier the process of actually making these things.
Right, yeah, go for it. I want to hear about what you actually do when you sit down in front of the computer.
Yeah, well, because at the start of the project, even though I had, like, 32 maps kind of sketched out, I still didn't think I'd have what it takes to actually make up the whole thing. So I thought, well, if I divide it into episodes, then at least if I do one episode and get bored, I can just say, yeah, that's it. That's the thing. And just leave it at that.
Mm.
So the way I approached it was to, for each map, I'd build it very simply with no texturing or lighting or detailing, just the monsters, the items, and any kind of functionality like doors and lifts and stuff.
Right.
And as soon as it was at a point where it was a finished map in that sense, then I'd move on to the next one.
So were you kind of trialing the idea, the concept behind the level before really committing to it by adding in all the extra details? Was it was that sort of a
problem? It was more a case of I wanted to get it done and then move on to the next one so that I can get bored. So if I could get a map done in like a couple of days like that and then move on to the next one and then move on to the next one, then in a couple of weeks I'd have the whole episode kind of done in inverted commas. And I'd be more inclined to finish making a map if it was all functionally complete. By adding whatever details and stuff on afterwards.
Mm. I should take a leaf out of your book there, actually, because I can't. I often start a big name project and then.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the way that I did anything like that before, but I just chose to do this way because I knew it was such a big project. I had to.
Yes. Yeah.
I had to manage the time a bit more just to keep my interest going.
Mm.
So once I'd have the whole episode done in kind of Startan Fulbright, then I'd go back and do the texturing and lighting, which is the kind of the fun part for me.
Did you ever get hampered or any speed bumps with regards to setting up some of the technical work? Because there's some impressive stuff down there.
Yeah, well, there's always it's kind of there's a lot of things that can go wrong. One of the things that helps if you're not detailing stuff to start with,
yeah,
is stuff like having gradiated lighting and whatever else, it gets in the way of the functionality of having sectors moving around.
It does.
So it helps to get all of that business, the actual functional business, done and dusted before you then go into add details.
Oh, absolutely.
Just so that it doesn't, because that's the important thing, you know, the functionality. And what was I saying? I can't remember. Oh yeah, problems with the on the technical side of things. I'd learned so much about Boom.
Compatibility as well.
Just the kind of things like what are they called? Voodoo doll,
yeah,
kind of things.
Tricks.
Tricks, yeah. I guess you could call it kind of rudimentary scripting and stuff.
Where that's basically what it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd want to make it so that certain traps would be sprung depending on which route the player had taken through the map and things like that. So things got a little bit complicated in some maps, and then in other maps there'd be problems with just everything moving and the whole up and down and breaking and things like that.
Did you drag in anyone in particular to help you sort through this mess, or was it mostly a silent affair?
It was completely me on my own.
Oh, really?
I had someone playtesting Dobu Gabby Marin, I think his name is on the forum.
That's a better effort than mine, my goodness.
Yeah, so I'd get him to playtest each episode and just to make sure that it actually was fun to play for somebody else. Because that's the other problem I have, is that I'll make a map and I'll play it the way I play maps. And, of course, if you play maps differently, they can be a complete disaster. Mm. He made a lot of really good comments about a lot of the maps, and some of the maps just changed quite a bit depending on the feedback he gave.
Can you give us an example? Was there one in particular that you'd overcomplicated perhaps, and that he wanted to simplify because it was technically
I remember one map. It was actually map 18, I think, the one with the siege, the underground siege. And he really didn't like that.
That divided opinion.
I'm not sure. I can't remember what it was about it that he didn't like. But I kept trying to change it to kind of and adding bits and simplifying bit, because the bit where you have to defend in the center is very kind of convoluted.
Mm.
And it was even more convoluted with different steps and heights and stuff. And so I had to really simplify that. But at the same time, he really hated the being cramped in there and not having any options to do anything. So I had to add kind of navigation to allow you to get out of there and attack from other angles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nothing I did ever made him happy. But I found that the stuff that I was adding to it actually made it better, in my opinion. So that was quite helpful.
Mm. Actually, go on.
Yeah, there were other maps where he'd have a problem with a certain bit, and I'd have to improve that bit. And there was another one, the one in the sewers, which is just a spiral staircase.
Oh, map 14 or 12 or something like that. Yeah, I remember.
And because originally there weren't any side bits that you could actually go into. It was all just on the stairs, and he had a real problem with the constraints of that. So I added a lot of outer bits that you could actually duck into.
Interested in sort of how it is that you respond to different levels of critique, and if possibly there's an opportunity for me to link it back to your videos as well, and how people respond. I mean, I guess it's a different ball game with regards to, you know, you don't really tweak videos at all in response to criticism. You simply work on the next map, which is different than Doom.
It's different with mapping for a game, because somebody else is going to be playing it. They're actually...
Yes.
And when you're playing a game, you're part of the creative process. It's not like a completely passive thing where you sit and watch something I've made.
Right, it's just something subjective, and then either they like or they don't, you don't necessarily adjust.
Yeah, so you have to try to not to piss people off too much. There's some feedback that I'll kind of nod and say yeah, and then just ignore because I don't agree with it or whatever. But there's a lot of feedback that is useful, and one of the most useful things I ever found was actually watching people playing your maps.
Yes.
And I find that even now when I watch videos of people playing like the finished going down thing, and they'll get stuck on a
That's gonna be an infuriating process.
And I'll just think, oh god, I wish I could just
doing it. Let me take control. Yeah. Stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, one thing I've learned from mapping is that you can never force a player to play in a particular way or do a particular thing, because they'll always try and do something different. If you want to convince a player to do something in particular, you've got to make it really damn obvious, because there's always going to be someone who, I mean. I've seen people just, you give them a wall of monsters and you think, you've got to run away from that now, and they'll just stand there fighting these things and until there's like no ammo left, and they'll be hitting them fists, and so you've really got to kind of signpost things if you want to try and direct the player in any way. I usually find it's a mistake to try and direct the player. That's a
very important point. Yeah, I find that it's often, obviously I haven't conducted a big project like going down myself, but if I did and I wanted to assist the player in understanding how it is I want him to play, or how I was encouraging him to play, then I would try to nail that in as early as possible, even in circumstances where that start of play isn't being most prominent, but I would exaggerate it in order to sort of instill in the player from the onset that's how I want him to play. Mm. But some people just want to fit the square key in the round hole, no matter what you do.
Yeah, so it's usually best to just give people options. You know, you can play it like this, or you can play it how you want to play it. There's different ways of doing it if you want to.
Mm. I know there was a huge discussion surrounding the camping method that people had in Back to Saturn X, where many of the maps really wanted you to rush ahead and collect the items to combat things that you've already encountered and then deal with them that way, rather than everything being laid out in front of you. So maybe Tarns could, you know, he couldn't care with that process as well.
Well, no, it's definitely like even if you like force the player to move forward by giving them a whole bunch of ammo, or not giving them a whole bunch of ammo, like, they're still going to, like, I don't know. Players are always going to play the way they want to play, so yep. I feel like you have to design your maps the way you want to play, and then play them the way you want them to be played, and then, like, people who want to play the way you want to play will like them, and if people don't want to play that way, then, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who won't like the going down maps just because they're the kind of thing that I enjoy, which is just monsters everywhere and the complete chaos. And some people prefer to have a bit more kind of a structure to their game, where they kind of move to one bit and do something and then move to next bit. And I'm always curious as how other people kind of react to these maps.
Mm. Geez, plenty of discussion to be had here. I was looking at the time and I was thinking, my goodness, we're going to be talking about going down all this time, but now we're actually 20 minutes left or something like that, so plenty of stuff to crack on with. You know, I've always been a big fan of the way you approach level design with certain themes or certain texture combinations, and what really impressed me early on was the work you did in the eye using flesh textures and lighting gradients, which really added a lot of depth and was extremely impressive to me. So when I saw the stuff you did, such as Map 21 of Going Down, it was the stuff I was really waiting for, having seen your past work. So I'm just wondering what's the themes you really, really like working with and texture combinations?
I just love those kind of hellish themes. I mean, that's one of the things that really attracted me to Doom when I was younger, is that It didn't shy away from having some really grotesque imagery in there, with heads on sticks and intestinal kind of textures. So yeah, I love all that stuff. and I guess there is a kind of a parallel between some of the more grotesque videos that I make, and I'll occasionally do a kind of a map which is all set inside the body of some creature, and you have to crawl out its backside or something.
Well, God, let's not talk too much about that, because DTST was a thing for anyone who remembers that project. We'll say no more about it, but suffice to say that the map was heavily questionable. But yeah, I always like seeing stock textures being used in inventive ways and ways that are unique to the author in particular, despite the textures having been used a billion times before. And definitely when I look at your sort of the way you use flesh textures, I get that impression. This is a trademark of your style, almost. It's just great to have that sort of thing. So let's talk a little bit about your music now, which was you reused a lot of it for Going Down, and it has often one of the strongest parts of its identity, I think, for everyone who played
it. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I'm not sure when in the process I actually decided to make the music for it. Maybe from the beginning, because I'd done a music track for another map, for another project, so I knew I could actually do it. But yeah, part of the whole identity of this project was that it was going to be kind of a bit tongue-in-cheek and not too serious, taking itself too seriously. So I wanted the music to kind of reflect that. And yeah, well, that's the kind of music that I make anyway, so it made sense to make some music tracks for it.
Mm.
But yeah, opinion is divided, of course. It always is, though. I mean, even the original Doom 2 music, some people don't like that. And interestingly, though, that was the main influence for the music that I made.
Doom 2 music? Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of surprising.
It has that kind of slightly cheeky, kind of lift music-y kind of vibe to it.
I have heard some people liken some of Doom 2's music to like pancake parlor music or some such. I don't know what words they're using. Plaza is one of those words, and parlor.
Yeah.
Strange
it's
lounge
like
music.
Kind of, it's not like kind of. I mean, the Doom 1 music, I kind of think of that, and I think of it, it's very kind of. Some of those tracks are quite dark and brooding, and,
right.
And
it's very pure to its metal roots, and sort of that is ambient. Yeah.
Doom there are tracks like that in Doom 2.
There are, but it does. I mean, you got the salsa track for the Healer Stalks for the second level, which you won't hear anything like that in Doom 1. So I guess that's what people are talking about, that jazz in between levels. So in that respect, I can understand where Moldy's drawing a sort of similarity between Doom 2's music and his own. But other than that, that's quite a surprising comparison for me, because it's balmy and almost atonal half the time, in a way that I don't remember Doom 2's tracks being.
Yeah,
but it is tongue
in cheek. My musical taste is quite odd anyway, and if you've seen any of my videos, then you'll know that's the kind of music that I like to listen to. And even on my videos, people hate it, but I don't care because I like it.
Yeah, you know, that's good. I'm glad that's the approach you take. even from people who don't particularly like the music, I find it hard.
Everyone's got their own idea of what Doom music should be about. I've seen so many projects that have like something a bit different, and people are like, "Oh, I don't like that music."
Mm.
And I might have even said it myself on some projects.
Although I probably wouldn't listen to your music standalone, but I think it's hard to argue that it doesn't suit the levels that you make it for. It's actually a perfect pairing. You know, the music is very atonal and chaotic, and
it's just a bit kind of crazy, and that's what the gameplay is. So it kind of fits together quite well.
Mm. So your community project work. What's I'm just trying to jog my memory. And this is my professionalism as an interviewer. It's not having research beyond Nova and Doom 2 name only. But are you still looking to take part in a lot of community? You're still very, very active in a lot of community projects. What are you sort of working on at the moment?
Let me see. Well, I did a map for the 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, you did? Yes. Yeah, good heavens.
That's looking like such a good project for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the idea for it, and I thought, that's quite funny. But I didn't imagine anyone actually making anything decent for it. And then I played the... there was a demo on the thread, and I played that, and I thought, well, these maps are pretty damn good.
Mm.
I mean, despite what they look... Well, they even look good, you know? I mean... Mm. As far as they go, but yeah, no, I thought I'd have to have a go at making something with this, because it's right up my street, really. The whole concept of making do with limitations is kind of what I'm all about.
Do you not look at one of those maps and say, this looks really great, but if it had actual text variation and wasn't limited to Greytool and associates, then it would be better?
Maybe. Yeah, it's possible, I guess, but I don't know.
It's too fun. Sometimes, it's too fun to care.
it's in a way it stops you from paying attention to the surroundings and concentrate more on the actual gameplay itself.
Yes.
And it's one thing I've noticed with all those matches, they're very solid in how they play.
Mm.
Especially Mechadon's map. Is it Mechadon?
If there's a magnum opus of any kind in there, not that magnum opus means anything for Mechadon, because everything he makes is freaking massive.
Yeah.
Well, the packs, I guess, could count. But yeah, that is definitely one thing that Tons and I appreciate about the best limitation projects, is that they draw your attention towards certain aspects of design by limiting another one.
You've got to have some decent mappers, of course, because you get limitation projects which are just end up being a bit crap.
Mm. Were you around in the in the Doom community when Monochrome Mapping Project was a thing? Because that had a very similar concept and mixed reception.
Yeah, I didn't. I kind of looked in the thread and there's and saw some drama and divided opinions about some of the maps and stuff.
No, oh, you've dabbled in a bit of drama yourself. I remember that whole kerfuffle with Joe Ilya and the
oh
good heavens, no, it's okay. He's elsewhere at the moment. he may be making a return, but. I had to plug it. This is Doom Radio. We're all about controversy and just generally being bigoted and shameless. So there we go there. But anything you're working on in particular outside of... I mean, after a big project like Going Down, I think it's always great to see a moldy map.
I'm still pretty burnt out after that, to be honest. I'd no idea how much work is involved in making
right.
a full 32 map project like that. And I'll tell you what, my hat goes off to anyone who can do something like that on their own, but with proper sized maps, because these maps are all quite small. I mean, it amazes me that people can even do that without going crazy. I'm kind of taking a bit of a rest, but I've made a map for the Nova 2 project.
Of course, That's interesting. I haven't really been keeping tabs on that. I have my opinions on what I thought Nova should be, you know, as a sort of platform for newbie. But you're a bit of a veteran now, so what's going on there?
Yeah, well, it's weird because, I mean, even the first Nova project, by the time it was finished, the newbies weren't exactly newbies anymore. So the second project comes along and you have all these kind of veteran mappers who are kind of half involved with it, and you get some new mappers coming along who are pretty good, and there are others who are completely terrible.
That's a heavy juxtaposition. I guess maybe the idea there is that they want to see how those mappers in the first project are improving or some such with their subsequent...
Yeah, well, the spirit of that project isn't so much about just letting anyone submit their first map and it's accepted. It's more to do with just wanting to improve. So there's still a kind of a level of quality control there, and if your map isn't good, then it's not guaranteed to get in, but you will get some feedback on how to improve it. But what I tend to find is that people can either make good maps or they can't. I don't know. I see some people and they make a crap map and show everyone, and I think, well, can't you see that's crap? Why? If you can't see that's crap, how are you going to get better at mapping?
We've transformed them, times when it didn't take long. Only the best part. 50 minutes, already there. My goodness.
Yep.
The elitism is contagious on Doom Radio. We're very good like that.
Well, Well, not everyone's like that, but there are some people. I mean, but it's like any kind of creativity, any kind of drawing, painting, filmmaking. There are people who are never going to be good at it, and you kind of have to wonder how, if you could ever teach them to be good at it, is if it's even worth actually the time of explaining why. Because if they can't see why something is bad, then that's kind of part of the skill of being an artist.
But then again, in something like the Doom community where everyone has free run, is there any really point in? Yeah, you can sort of let them go about their merry way, surely, and just concentrate on the people who pump out the good material, because there's plenty enough of those.
But yeah, there's, and that's another thing I do wonder with projects like Neighbor, is that surely if anyone had any interest in mapping and they're any good at it, then they'd already be making their own maps. They wouldn't need a community project to get them involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then, like I say, when I started out making maps, I didn't have much of a clue, and I just wanted project to join projects that were
right.
That weren't that kind of exclusive, you know, that would just let people kind of join in, even if they weren't so experienced.
Mm. I suspect some people just like being part of the process more so than really improving their own ability or finding out what the cap on their ability actually is, and to those people, I would say, you know, there's enough going on in the Doom community that, you know, just let them do their thing and
mm-hmm.
be part of that process. Although I do sometimes nag about it myself, so I'm being a bit of a hypocrite here as well.
What else is new?
I'll give it a rest. Come on, sort yourself out, Hans. Wait, what are you doing here? What are you playing over there?
Well, I'm not done listening to Moldy expound upon his wonderful mapping wisdom.
I'm just making sure you're not, you know, maximum dooming and upleaving.
I'm just enamored with Moldy's wonderful insights.
Oh, yes, me too. Look, I mean, Tarnsman, of course, is also working on Twelveman Megawad, and it's interesting to hear you note that you're a bit burnt out with it, because I think Tarnsman said at one point that he's never going to do a Twelveman anything again. It's always going to be with someone else. That train has come and gone. So it sounds like a one-man gig for many people, unless your name is, I don't know, Joshy or Skillsaw.
Yeah,
one-man Megawad.
Oh, well, and
so was Joshy.
That's true. Sorry, yeah, full of shit. Yeah. And maybe he is burnt out. In fact, he did say he was going to retire at one point, so I'm full of crap.
It is just so much work doing a whole project on your own. But then you've always got that thing when you're working with somebody else is, well, I don't know, I'm such a control freak that...
Oh, no.
I'd never quite be happy with anything unless I had a hand in it, you know.
Yeah. I think the argument...
With all the work I do, this is why, I mean, I never collaborate with anyone on my music videos, if I can help it. Just because I hate everyone else's ideas.
Oh, wow. We're discovering a lot about the man today. My goodness. That's great. I think the argument for multiple, or just two or three authors working on the Megawad, is that typically one guy can't carry ideas for an entire 32 levels. I think clearly with Going Down, you've proven that's you're one of the people who can.
Just about, yeah. But I do wonder if I have any ideas left after doing that.
Yeah. I should have given you warning about this, and so don't feel pressured to really come up with any answers for this, because typically for the tail end of interviews, we ask people what their favorite maps are or who their favorite authors are, where they get their inspiration from. You know, typically listing four or five. We actually had a name for it. I think it's Desert Island was or some nonsense like that.
Yeah, Desert Island, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll just remove the formality of that and just ask off the cuff, I guess, if there's anyone in particular in the Doom community that you look up to. And if it's not for level design, then it might also be theme music, since we have a lot of musicians there. Who is it that you really admire the work of in the Doom community?
Well, now, let me see. Well, one of the first custom maps I stumbled across was Scythe 2.
Uh-huh.
And that just completely blew me away. And so that's something that that I always kind of reference to when I'm working on something. Let me see.
Having nice concise layouts, yeah. That's often what size that is what size it's about. So I can definitely see the
similarity. Yeah. And then of course there's Deus Vault 1 and 2, which are just kind of that they completely blow my mind. The guy who did Combat Shock.
Oh,
Danny Bubinga.
Danny Bubinga. The other D. I mean, the other D. Oh, God, I said that, didn't I? The other guy's name starts with D, who I can't pronounce off the cuff usually. Yeah, Danny Bubinga, that's right.
Those Combat Shop mods are just one of my favourites of all time. And, yeah, so I'm looking forward to what him and Rivet...
Sunlust, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, those guys seem to be very consistent in the... in the quality of what they do. There's just so many mods out there that I hardly even get the chance to play them more than once. Do you find that?
That is actually the trend I'm suffering at the moment. I've yet to complete Skillsaw's Valiant at the moment.
Oh God, yeah, I started playing that. That's pretty good as well.
I know. But that's too often the story with me. I started playing it, unquote. So I get caught up in the map making process and the MIDI making process and talking about the process that actually playing Doom is being put on a bit of the back burner, honestly, which is very silly when you come to think about it and given what what the community is all about. But it's just so prolific and there's so much going on. And there's so many opinionated individuals and a lot of kerfuffling about that one can afford to talk about, and there's enough interest going on there. And that's a great thing, really. Not necessarily that I'm not playing Doom, but it's great that there is that much to talk about. We can invest that much time in discussing it. Like we are today, this podcast is a testament to that fact, I think, that we have enough history in the Doom community that we are able to sit down and talk about it for an hour. So it's been great having you on the program.
Pleasure.
It's been great. It's just great to see someone who's pushing the envelope as well. I mean, it gives a lot of a lot of pride there, and it's a lot of promise as well to show that we're heading in the right direction. So I personally can't wait to see what else you're going to put out. However long it takes, no pressure.
I'll still be making Doom maps for a while, yeah, I think.
And good luck on the video front as well. I understand there might be some people who are tuning into this interview just to hear about your process there, which we got a little bit of insight on. So I'll call that a success. How was the interview with the BBC, by the way? What's the process there? Do they just drop by your house with a sort of two-man crew, three-man crew?
God, when did they interview me? I did one interview with them bloody years ago, before anyone even knew who I was.
That was around the BeastEnders time, I think.
Yeah, and it was just kind of, I think it was just one guy who just came around my flat and
asked me some questions. That's very nice.
And then I did an interview a few years ago, which was so bad that I don't think they ever even used it. It was just kind of, I don't know what it is, but there's a thing with interviews, TV interviews, where they'll ask you a question and you answer it and they say, right, can we do that again?
Oh, and, God.
And you have to say the same thing again, and it just feels so kind of phony, like you're kind of rehearsing your own opinion.
Mm.
And I hate that kind of thing. And then, because I lived near the beach, they'd say, oh, can we go out onto the beach and you can bring your laptop and pretend you're like God, working.
Couldn't stand that.
I thought, well, Christ, this is stupid.
That's just and then you get to the beach
and you can't even see the screen of the laptop because of the sunshine, and it's just such a stupid idea. And then there's that bloody thing I did on YouTube where there was some kind of interview with this really annoying guy called Bing. I just wanted to punch him in the face.
God, geez, I'm hoping we're leaving a good impression here, Tons, or I'm up in his hit list.
I honestly think this is the best possible impression we could get. I mean, frankly, we want the drama. That's what makes Kate work.
Well, that's it. I think we've wrapped up. That's sitting quite comfortably on an hour, which is where we want it to be. So thank you very much for dropping by, and hopefully you'll be able to this interview spur on some more interviews. Thanks very much everyone else for tuning in, and hopefully we'll be back in a fortnight's time or thereabouts with some more material for you, be it interviews or Program B or anything else of the sort. This has been Alfonso Tonsman and our guest Moldy on Doom Radio.